I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And I always happy to welcome a new artist to the studio who hasn't been here before. And today, that is Joseph Huber here from Milwaukee. Welcome, Joseph.
Hey, how do you do?
I'm doing great. And you brought a friend with you, Jason. What's Jason's last name?
That is Jason Lovell.
All right. And he's got a fiddle there. So
yes, he does.
So
he knows how to use it.
So you're doing a show tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. And it sounds like this is your first solo show here in Duluth, right?
That is true also, yeah.
But you passed through some time back with the band that you were in, the 357 String Band.
357 String Band. I think we played at, is it Pizza
Luce?
Yeah,
okay.
That would be the one, yeah.
All right. So you've been here before, just not recently.
Yeah.
Well, you have a new album out called The Hanging Road, new solo album, and I'm sure we're going to hear some stuff from that.
Right off the bat, yep. I'll start with one of those.
Well, let's do that then. What do you want to play?
This one's called Same River Twice. Track one. Ready? Mm-hmm. One, two, three, four.
Joseph Huber, live from Studio A, and a tune from his latest solo album. Well, so since you've never been here before, Joseph, let's find out a little bit about how you got into music and with the 357 string band that you were with for a long time, right?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I was probably, I'm 31 now. I was probably 19 when that started. It was mostly punk rock music that everyone was into in that band, and we all started off pretty much listening to purely that. But then when I was 19, I found Will the Circle Be Unbroken record and John Hartford records and Earl Scruggs and things like that. And all of us that were listening to punk rock pretty much just made a complete U-turn and started listening to all this old roots and blues and bluegrass stuff and kind of just started that band as a project to be, you know, be to bluegrass what the Pogues were to Irish music or something like that. You know, that was like a idea that we had at the time. We wanted to be that band for American, you know, roots music a little bit. So that was around for about 7 years, and in 2012 that ended, and I just kept going, kept writing, and it's not as fast as it used to be, of course, but you know, I've kind of advanced lyrically, I think, from those days. So I'm trying to develop the sound a little bit different in my own direction from what 357 was doing. But I still like to whip out some of the old 357 tunes in the set every once in a while, certainly. But yeah, but just going my own way.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to assume, because in your bio, the word street grass is used for the sound of that band, which that kind of makes sense, that kind of punk sensibility going into that music. So you said you kind of came across that music. How did you discover it?
Some albums in my folks' basement. It was my first year of college. I went home and just running through my parents' old albums in the basement and picked some out and started listening to them and brought them back to college. And pretty much from there, I think after I found those albums, like the John Hartford one, it wasn't more than 3 weeks and I had a banjo. I bought my first, you know, cheap, you know, foreign $200 Lotus banjo or something like that. And I was just like, well, good enough. It's a start. And I think the resonator actually rotted and fell off within 6 months of owning that banjo. But I was like, you know, after that, I bought a better one because I knew I was going to stick with it. So, and it's been, you know, been playing some form of roots music for probably 12 years or so. So, you know,
well,
stuck
and,
with it.
and nowadays, you know, roots music is a huge thing. But was it back then? And this was in the Milwaukee area? Right?
Well, in Milwaukee, they might be coming around now. I don't know. It's still, you know, there's a certain folk bands, but there's always sort of like maybe a more ethereal or indie or rock element to it. I don't think there, I'm trying to think if there's any essentially like bands that I would consider folk or roots in a more traditional sense, maybe not off the top of my head. So Milwaukee is a kind of a rock, punk rock city, and it has that attitude and still maintains it, I think. So
you always stood out doing this particular kind of music.
Bit, yeah, then. We were quite surprised back in the day at how 357 took off in Milwaukee. It was, I mean, by the time we were done, we were packing pretty large rooms, and it was doing very well. And we were quite surprised that we had a good Milwaukee force, certainly. But still, it's definitely more of a rock city, certainly.
So when you decided to make the transition from a band, did you go to solo stuff right away? Because that seems like kind of a big change for you and thinking about how to present your tunes on stage and
stuff. It was certainly a little while of finding you know, how to present the sound on stage. And, you know, I got this, like, the suitcase drum and everything. I try to make it self-sufficient, you know, boom up the sound, even though it was just me playing. So I was doing harmonica, this suitcase kick drum and guitar and singing just to try to fill out the sound, you know, because I was still playing not strictly like laid back folk music. And it was still, it had an edge to it, you know. So, but yeah, it took a while to, you know, figure out, but I feel like I've settled on a certain sound and I've really enjoyed getting back and playing with people again, like Jason here on fiddle. And I will have a 3-piece tonight. My buddy Pete is also playing upright bass, so it'll be a 3-piece tonight.
Okay.
So I've really enjoyed playing with people again after a short stint of pure solo stuff. So,
well, and you play a bunch of different instruments, like on your albums.
On the albums, it's
you've pretty much done most of the stuff yourself. Is that right?
Yep. I've learned enough of the instruments to barely get by doing, like, you know, fiddle parts and mandolin parts on the albums and things like that. Involving a lot of retuning to my own, you know, GD, open tunings. I love the droning sound of open tunings on fiddles, so a lot of times I'll be messing with the knobs and everything in order to get the sound I want. So, but I've learned the instruments just enough to get by, you know, recording and, you know, being self-sufficient that way too.
Well, and sometimes there's a benefit to that, to not knowing too much about, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like I'm assuming.
An uninhibited sort of, uninhibited by any knowledge, real, true knowledge. Yeah.
I just want it to sound like this.
Yep.
But guitar, I'm assuming, is your first and primary instrument. Is that correct?
I've been playing.
Well, you said you had a
guitar.
You had a banjo.
I played banjo in 357 time. That was my main instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I played guitar since I was like 12, but I don't think I've ever really advanced beyond basic. If I get above the fifth or seventh fret, it's because it's capoed that high. You know, I'm not ripping any solos out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear another one. What do you want to do next?
All right. Here's a little broken love song here. This one's called Coming Down From You. This is on the new album, too.
Coming down from sitting on a rainbow over town. Now the tears come down, I think I'll go and maybe throw on a raincoat. Start looking for someone new. Coming down from you. Go down on the ground, two little gray birds all full of sound. Like any law, giving one another just a few choice words, just like we used to do. Coming down from you. Now there you go, you're bending my soul like a heavy snow. Feel that bending seat's breaking and I'm taking on a new low. Low I'm getting mighty used to. Coming down from you. Low waterfall, Lord how I pleaded, oh, but don't we all. Don't we all do what we need to do when the doing's needed. Don't we all look like. Coming down from you, still coming down. Wind don't forget blowing, and water forget flowing. Each keeping their word till the day of knowing. Every little one but you. Coming down from you. Now I'm leaving town. I don't know where I'll land. I'll go another round. For a ticket to that gentle world I was waiting in the next. To the tune of a bull gone loose, I'll be coming down from you. To the tune of a bull gone loose, still coming down.
Joseph Huber live from Studio A, and another cut from his latest album, his latest solo album, The Hanging Road. Tell me about that song. What inspired that one? Do you remember?
A lot of my songs are pretty much about me, but not necessarily like right now. So there's a couple albums, actually the last two that I just played, that were about kind of a 8-month period that me and my wife had split up for a while, probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. But you know, apparently it was a time of my life that was rough enough where I still am inspired to write songs about it. So,
but things are better now. But you're still kind
been
of
married. I'm married just under a year. It'll be a year September 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Still fresh. But we've been together besides that 8-month period for like 9 years. So,
mm-hmm.
Practically married for long
mm-hmm.
time.
So you're kind of revisiting it, but not. It's not fresh and.
No. I've had lines that were existing and things in my mind that existed for a long time that I finally mm-hmm. have like gathered together and put into songs. Sometimes it takes a while for it to come out right, but the sentiment in my mind isn't still fresh like that anymore. But
yeah, it's kind of interesting because sometimes people write those kind of songs to work their way through something, but mm-hmm. it sounds like you've already worked through it. You're just kind of remembering what it was like.
You know, and I certainly, like, there's always someone out there who's going through something, and they, you know, if you know the sentiment, it's still real, no matter, you know, if you've passed it, you still, it's sitting in there somewhere mm-hmm. in your past, and someone's going through it in the present, you know, so.
Well, and for example, the first song that you did, The Same River Twice, is mm-hmm. very, you know, giving it another shot with somebody, and.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a very universal experience, so, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure.
Certainly.
Do songs come easy for you, or does it take you a while to get another album's worth together, or how does that work for you?
I would say a little bit of both. It's definitely not something where it's just like, I am this prolific things and things pop into my head all the time. And, you know, songs are, if you're going to make it to the point where I feel like it's good, I really have to sit down and struggle with, you know, even lines for a time, and it doesn't always come. And, you know, if you sit around waiting all the time for it to come, you probably won't finish anything. So you really do have to work still for songwriting. It's not all just some muse that hits you, so it's also hard work.
Do you ever, you know, just do kind of the exercise of, all right, I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna
sit
write
down
something.
And even if it's just garbage, you still got to do it just to see if something hits, you know. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
certainly.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes nothing hits and
nothing at
sometimes
all.
It does. How do you know, like, what is that feeling when you know that, yeah, this is gonna work?
Well, usually I have to start reading again myself in order to be inspired by someone else saying something really genius that hits you, that you're like, okay, I got to write that down. And you kind of accumulate these things and take these, you know, moments from all these maybe books or poetry or philosophy or whatever you're reading, and kind of just see, like, you know, what's my take on this? Have I experienced this emotion or this thing? And then kind of play off of that and just kind of mental exercise on a theme or something that you read. So,
and does it kind of simmer there for a while and then maybe you don't?
And I usually have to wait on a song. If I read a song, even I have to like sit on it for a couple months before I'll be like, okay, maybe that one's not gonna last, you know.
Do you ever use other people to kind of tell you, because sometimes it's hard to judge your mm-hmm. own work? Do you ever have other people kind of say, no,
you know,
that's a really,
really
good one?
Don't. I a lot of times I won't even show people until it's actually recorded and done, but and because I, you know,
mm-hmm.
The only people that have probably heard stuff before it's released a lot is probably just my parents, mm-hmm. Mom and Pa. And my dad has no problems with telling me if something just ain't working right. And it's like, you got to re-sing that part. You're a little off.
Were they musicians or just music fans?
No, just music fans. So,
okay.
My mom will just be like, it's fine. It's perfect. And then my dad will be like, you should really do that one over.
It's kind of nice to have both of those things.
Oh,
you know,
the build you up and the knock you down.
Yep,
you know? You need a little of both in life.
Yep, exactly. Well, let's hear another tune. And what do you want to do next?
I'm going to do an older one, just from the last album, 2012. I'm going to do Old Mountain Tune. This is another love song here.
Give me one sec, Joe.
Sure.
The air conditioner.
Blame it on the air conditioner.
All right.
Y'all ready?
We'll give it a try.
All right. Old Mountain Tune. One, two, three, four.
our blood ran thin and the shadows would sing across the limbs that were our room. And the howls and the cries pierced the stars, scattered skies, and scared off anything that dared to move. But we stole the light as the darkness grew. Stole our meals to save a dime or two. And I stole the words that I used to get closer to you. While stealing the chords of an old mountain. Our vision ceased as waves of relief brought us down firmly in our shoes. And coyotes crooned as if somehow they knew about the hard times coming soon. But we stole the light as the darkness grew. Stole some wine and a fifth. And I stole the words that I used to get closer to you, while stealing the chord of an old mountain tune. Now the boards do creak below our feet, and they're begging for you to fall through. And even the nails, how they scream to be free. See the holes they left for you. But we stole the light as the darkness grew. Stole our meals to save a dime or two. And I stole the words that I used to get closer to you, while stealing the chords of an old mountain tune.
That is Joseph Huber live from Studio A. Well, and just looking at your website, which is josephhubermusic.com, in case
Thank
people
you.
Are interested, it looks like you've been doing some touring. You went to Europe earlier this year, is that right?
Yep. Last February, me and my wife went there and took her across the pond, and it was kind of like the honeymoon we never got after the wedding. So, you know, it was 357 had been over there probably, you know, maybe half a dozen times, and the guys that booked us over there just kind of took a chance on us back in the day, and it turned out, and they said, you know, even after we broke up, they're like, if any of you guys want to come back, you can come back, just like that. So I got a hold of them to come over and do it, and it turned out absolutely great.
So they're just, you had kind of a following over there? Or
a lot of people were,
wow.
357 did very well over there.
Like, where are we talking about? What
Netherlands,
countries?
Belgium, and Germany are probably the main three that we played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we even went as far as, like, Serbia. We never got back there after the first time, but the first time we went to Serbia. But we kind of nailed down the certain countries after a while that were, like, these ones are kind of like our home base that we do really well in. So those three were probably the best. So that was where the solo one was mostly based out of, too, and it went really well.
Well, that's wonderful. So did you have some of the same fans coming to the shows that were there?
And a lot of 357 shirts in the crowd, yeah.
Nice.
Yelling for those old songs. I don't mind doing them. I love doing them. So,
so do you do a lot of the 357 songs in your set?
Sure, sure. I'll do a little. I'll maybe add one or two in the sets, and then if they scream loud enough for certain ones at the very end, I'll do a couple more.
Well, you know, I can imagine you're up there and people know these songs. You're like, oh, yeah, they're fans.
Sure,
so I'm gonna, yeah,
yeah, yeah. As long as I still remember them, I'll do them. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of fun. So I assume you're probably going to go back there someday.
Oh yeah,
and tour.
Yeah. I would like to keep doing it once a year if I could. So.
And it looks like you go to some festivals and things. Do you tour pretty regularly? Or I see you're a woodworker by trade as well. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
But does that give you some flexibility as far as being able to?
Yeah, certainly. It's good for my mind too. Kind of switching to different minds. If you're not your songwriting ain't happening right now, then just go work on the woodworking and the carpentry stuff, and then kind of jump back and forth between the two. If you feel like touring, you can. If you're not in the mood, I got other things I can do. So it's a good balance that's been reached over time, certainly.
Well, that's a good place to be.
Oh yeah.
Way to support your music habit and your
yep.
music
habits.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Joseph. It's just been a pleasure to have you guys here.
Thank you
and
for having
you and Jason. Thanks for coming in today. And again, they're going to be playing at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth tonight. You're opening up for local band Tin Can Gin, right?
Certainly. Yep.
And what time does the show start? Do you know?
I'm thinking 10. I'm not okay. positive about that. Maybe just tell everyone to get there early.
That is tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Rick McLean and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.